Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
G is back, thank goodness, for everyone, and he is in San Francisco and will be playing all year. But we got other things to deal with here on Carrie and Carlin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Matt Jones, Nick Friedell, we are filling in, and we are very happy to have with us on the phone Chris McKendry. She's ESPN's tennis host. I've been watching Chris do these tennis events for years. I'm actually very excited to have her on, and we're having her on, of course, because of the scene last night in New York with Serena Williams. I mean, everybody was there. It was like you had Bill Clinton, you had Oprah Winfrey, Gail King, Dr. Ruth, Mike Tyson, all the big stars are there. And I wonder, Chris, if there was a thought that that sort of reception occurred because people sort of thought, well, maybe she'll lose and we want to say goodbye. Is that the sense you got?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. I'm actually standing here. I'm at the Billie Jean King National Tennis Center, just off the practice court, in fact. So squeezing this in, but happy to talk Serena. You know, everybody wants to see her play one more time. Last week was fan week at the U.S. Open, and the grounds are open. Everyone can come in, and people were packing her practices, you know, just to see her hit one more time, or perhaps it's just to say, I saw Serena Williams play. She has been so many things to so many people, and she's done so much, sport and society. Everyone just wanted a glimpse. And, you know, look, she's only won one match since she decided she was coming back at Wimbledon to give us all this, you know, opportunity to say goodbye and to say thank you. So who knows that whether or not she was going to win last night, you know? And likewise, we expect tomorrow night to be equally as crowded because she's playing the number two seed in the tournament, and who knows if she's going to win that, but it's all gravy from here. She came into the tournament. Of course, she wants to get a win, and she got it. But yes, the crowd last night, the crowd throughout the day, the energy around the grounds throughout the day was unlike anything I've ever seen at a Grand Slam, and it was all due to Serena taking the court last night.
Chris, you've covered her for so long, and she was asked directly after that match last night, if she was actually done whenever she bows out in this tournament. Do you feel like she'll actually be able to give it up and not play anymore? Do you think she'll pop up in the future at some point because of how much, not only she loves the game, but how much she means to it?
Well, I think she was clear last night. If she, as she said, you know, she's been pretty direct. Would she stay in the game and continue playing? She addressed that in her Vogue magazine first person column. And I think she said something that a lot of women can understand. If she were Tom Brady, she could keep playing and she could grow a family and you know, continue to do everything. But she can't. She's a woman. And she would like to have another child, Olympia, her daughter, who was practically, if not the show stealer, if not for her mom being so huge, Olympia stole the show last night. And she wants to have, you know, she wants to be a big sister, as Serena said. And that's something Serena and her husband obviously want as well. So this idea of if she has a few good matches here, that'll be enough to keep her going. You know, she's addressed that. She will never not love tennis. This is not an easy move for her. She's not exhausted of the sport. She still loves it, and she would keep playing, except she loves her family more, and she loves the idea of growing her family, you know, more than tennis.
Chris, I've been saying for a while that it's kind of special in the sense that we're seeing the end of it, of the careers of maybe the four best people to ever play the sport, with Novak, Roger, Rafa, and Serena. But you have been at the U.S. Open. I've been there. I covered it 3 years. And a night match at the U.S. Open, for people listening all across the country who haven't been there, when it is electric, like it was last night, like it is for a big one for Roger or Rafa, to explain to people what it's like, because I don't think there's anything else like it in tennis.
I struggle for words. It's an energy. You know, it's all the intangibles you can imagine about a great sporting event, you know, wrapped up into one. I think part of the electricity is what comes from this sport is that it's mano a mano, right?
Yes.
I mean, there's something about seeing two people just absolutely slug it out that is different than a team sport. And, you know, right now I'm sitting here and I'm watching Leyla Fernandez on practice court two. She played last night. She won. She's into the second round. Last year, Leyla Fernandez, Emma Raducanu, two people no one knew outside of the tennis circles in the sports world last year at the U.S. Open until they started playing and started winning. Two unheralded teenagers. And yet, night matches became must-see TV and attendance was through the roof and ratings were sky high when these two reached the final. So you don't have to have a long history behind you for people to get behind you. They invest in these players' stories quickly because it's just one person you need to know and understand. And it's an event. You know, New York is a huge city. There's a lot of things happening in New York. There's major Broadway shows. There's other sporting events. I mean, the Mets play across the parking lot from the U.S. Open about eight nights of this tournament running. And yet, when the U.S. Open plays, it is the biggest show in town, and it happens to be a sporting event.
Chris, to follow up on that, you told us how awesome the atmosphere was last night as Serena
got incredible.
Prepared and won the match. If she's able to win tomorrow, what do you think that atmosphere will be like moving forward at the Tennis Center?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I laugh even thinking of the idea because it makes me so happy. You know, the great writer Howard Bryant, you know, for ESPN is here, and he joined us on set yesterday, and he's like, now, should she make a run? And I just said to him, from your lips to God's ears, right? Please, that would be something else. If she upsets the number two seed here, Annette Kontaveit, who is not very experienced, she's an Estonian player who actually, in her press conference last night, was giddy at the idea of playing Serena. She's like, I'm so excited I get to play Serena. Thinking to myself, all right, Serena just walked out of the gate up 3-love on you. You know, you're so excited to even be on the court with Serena, and the crowd's going to be unlike anything Annette Kontaveit's ever experienced. So, you know, favor Serena there, but if she were to upset the number two seed, the section of the draw she's in was the best section she could have possibly fallen into. And I'm telling you, it is game on, and that would be unbelievable. I'm flashing back to, you know, Jimmy Connors, 1991.
Tell me I got to go, but I can't have you on without asking you one question. So the best to ever do it is about to finish up. Give me your favorite Serena moment of her career.
My favorite Serena moment, there are so many. How do we pick one? I still... You know, to me, 2017, and she won the Australian Open, and she met Venus in the championship, which, come on, it, both of their ages, to have them in a championship one more time. So they both make it to the Grand Slam championship. She beats her sister for the title, and then we find out she was pregnant. I mean, you know, you can't make this stuff up. And, you know, also one more thing I'll leave you with, because I find it so poetic, between the sisters. They are playing doubles here,
yes.
And Serena's playing singles tomorrow night at 7 Eastern ESPN. I would not be shocked to see the sisters' doubles match Thursday night in primetime. So should she lose tomorrow night, her final professional match will be with her sister by her side. I mean, this is too much, guys. Too much. Too good.
That's exactly right. Well, speaking of that, unfortunately, Venus lost in singles 6-1, 7-6 in her first round match, but
that
will be playing
true.
Doubles with Serena. Chris, this was a pleasure. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, guys.
There you go. Chris McKendry, legend of the broadcasting world. I didn't think about the fact they might put those doubles matches in primetime. Come on. How good is that, Nick?
And Matt, I got to tell you, I just had a full circle moment myself because one of the first times I ever went on SportsCenter was with Chris McKendry on my phone. Derrick Rose had unfortunately just gotten hurt again, and I was like – behind a bathroom door in some hotel in Manhattan Beach, and I'm talking to Chris McKendry, and I'm like, is this really happening? Am I on SportsCenter
right
now?
I don't know her at all.
I'm like, what is going on? And to be able to be on the show with you today and to have these moments where we're talking to Chris about Serena Williams' career ending. It's pretty cool for me.
Yeah, I don't know her at all, but I have to say, I've always felt like she seems like the most pleasant person. Like, mm-hmm. she always, like, when I think of her, she's, like, in my head smiling, which is, if we all could be thought of like that. I will not be thought of like that, although I do smile quite a bit. Someone who is yet to smile, at least about his contract, is Lamar Jackson. He's making waves on Twitter, even without a new deal. Is he going to get one done in the next 9 days before the season starts? We'll let you know. Well, actually, we won't let you know, but we'll guess next here on Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Matt Jones, Nick Friedell. Shout out to Ryan Matlack on vacation today. Hope he's enjoying it. Lamar Jackson is using his time, getting ready for the season, to make waves on Twitter. That's right. He is doing the Kevin Durant thing, where you respond to people on Twitter. Now, I can't say a lot about this, Nick, because I respond to people on Twitter. I don't want to, but then they get all smart, and they think they're so cool, and I can't help it. I feel like I got to let this person know. Now, granted, I'm not Lamar Jackson, but I know what it's like to want to clap back at somebody on Twitter. But I want to read you some of what Lamar's doing, and you tell me what you think about this. A guy on Twitter, I'm not even going to give his handle, probably is a name with a bunch of numbers, says, so Lamar is a league MVP, and he still hasn't broken the bank. At Ravens, you're on the hot seat. Give that man $250 million guaranteed before you write a check your ass can't cash. Wow. So then another person on Twitter responds and says, he want more. They already offered that. And Lamar jumps in and says, no, they didn't. So we get a little factual information here, Nick. Like, no, they haven't offered $250 million guaranteed. Maybe a sign that if they did, Lamar would take the check.
That is absolutely what he's doing. He's using Twitter to his advantage in this case. Now, Matt, before we go any further, can I make a public service announcement to everybody? And I guess you'd be included in that group. Do not respond.
Yeah, you could say that. That's easy.
I
say this with love to you because you are like, everybody loves you. You're like the NBA. You're the NBA.
That is not true.
Yeah, but you're a news reporter. Like, you don't get on there and make waves. I'm a wave maker. Like, I come on there and I like throw a little splash in and the ripples go. It's different. Like, people come at me very personally. And I think they do that to these athletes. And it's easy to say don't do it. But if you live it, sometimes you want to go at them. Let me give you an example. This is an example of something Lamar did. I could see myself doing this. Somebody else on Twitter wrote, as much as I love Lamar, a fully guaranteed deal is just bad business. Just because a horrible franchise, the Cleveland Browns, did horrible business giving Watson that contract doesn't mean other teams should follow. Hopefully, I'm hoping Lamar gets... honestly, I'm hoping Lamar gets a 10-year, half-a-billion deal. And Lamar responded, you don't love Lamar. Which, by the way, I love that response. It's like, you don't love, you say you love Lamar, but you don't love Lamar. But I can get why he does this. He's sitting at home. He doesn't have an agent. He's trying to figure out how to, because, you know, if he had an agent, his agent would be out there making public statements, making him look good. So Lamar just says, I'm going to go on Twitter and say, you don't love Lamar. I get it.
That is a T-shirt that is waiting to happen.
That is true. That's going to be a good T-shirt.
First of all. Secondly, you haven't lived until you've been called a clown on Twitter by D'Angelo Russell.
That's true.
So that has occurred to me in life after saying that I didn't think Carl Anthony Towns was the number one star that everybody made him out to be in Minnesota, and I didn't think they were going to win anything with that combination. And I wake up.
And he called you a clown?
I wake up to you a clown, tweet number one, and then you are a clown in tweet number two. Not worth responding. So do I get it?
Well, you can't win in that one.
But do I have all the different people calling me all kinds of names all day long? It happens. It doesn't sound like I get it as much as you do. But what I would say is to Lamar Jackson, to you, I tell my girl Sarah Spain this all the time. The first thing I do when anybody responds is click on the person who caused the response that they're responding to. And usually, it's not worth it. It's never worth it to go down that rabbit hole.
I would disagree. I think it's always worth it.
Matt,
because they need to know they're wrong.
But in this case with Lamar Jackson, he is obviously using Twitter for exactly what you said he was, which is, I need to get part of my story out there. And in this case, what we know for sure is, the $250 million guarantee isn't there. So I see it in this case. But as a general rule, as best you can.
So you're telling me, wait a minute. Listen, I don't know you very well, but you look like a guy who, you know, things go a certain way. You'll get in the mix a little bit. Are you telling me you have never clapped back at fools on Twitter? And if so, I'm telling you, you're missing some fun in life.
I'm telling you that it's been about 7 or 8 years since I even responded, because I never felt the response was worth it. Because again, the first thing I'm doing is clicking on what caused this person, whomever they may be, to respond that way. And in my head,
you're doing like a psychological profile, like asking what happened in their childhood?
No. I want to see the tweet that caused it. And in my head, all I keep thinking is, I'm not giving that person the satisfaction of giving them the spotlight that some tweet that I sent and they responded to could potentially give them down the line.
So, I understand, but not everybody's as big a star as you, and some of us have to respond to let these fools know that they are fools. Now, I will say, I think Kevin Durant goes too far when he creates the burner accounts and starts spying on, that's a little much, but I'm with Lamar. You know, Lamar went to Louisville, so on paper, I shouldn't be a Lamar guy. He's a Louisville guy, I'm a Kentucky guy. That's too much hatred. But I've always, as the kids would say, stand for Lamar, because I have always thought people have assumed negatively about him first, and then they make their decision. There's always a presumption of negativity. So if I'm Lamar and I always get a presumption of negativity, and people are out there throwing around that I've been offered $250 million, if I haven't, Nick, I want to tell people that.
Especially when you're sitting there by yourself and you don't have that agent mouthpiece as that representative. In that regard, it makes sense. Also, Matt, the kids say Stan for Lamar.
That's what I said, Stan.
Oh,
you couldn't understand because I have a twang, and so it sounded like I said Stan.
I thought there was a D on the end there. So, all right, you're right on track there with the Stan. But as far as Lamar goes, the reason he's doing this is because he doesn't have that extra aspect of having the agent's backing. Now, Lamar can tweet and respond to whoever he wants, so long as he doesn't have to give that cut to the non-existent agent whenever this deal goes down. But, Matt, what this whole experience shows me is that if the contract doesn't happen, and Lamar said he's not negotiating the season, how much of a distraction is it going to be if they don't get this thing wrapped up and he's sitting on his phone after some of these games seeing the whole world say how much Lamar is terrible, and he's looking and he's going to go, ah, do I want to respond to this person or that person? And will that seep in at all to his play potentially down the line on the field?
Yeah. Nick Friedel sitting there thinking he can relate to the kids more than me. Come on. Like I don't know what it is to stand.
See, that's why I stay out of the response game on Twitter.
Maybe you should. Right, if you can't do better than that, maybe you should. News from Canty and Carlin Nation happens if you hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, or the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, just like the guys did to Lamar Jackson. You can respond to us. And maybe you'll get Nick worked up enough that he will clap back at you. But he's not just a Twitter denier. He's also an NBA expert. So I'm going to give him the most burning questions in the NBA, and he's going to answer them. That's next here on Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It is Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio. Matt Jones, Nick Friedel, 888-SAY-ESPN. So listen, just I like to give the listeners a little behind the scenes. When you do shows here on ESPN, you know, they always try to hit, understandably, the hot topics of the day. So the hot topics today, of course, were Jimmy G, R.J. Barrett. So you could do the whole show with Jimmy G and R.J. Barrett because not everybody sits and listens to all 4 hours, although you should because Canty and Carlin are that good. But if you don't, the way you come in, you get a little Jimmy G, you get a little R.J. Barrett, you go back, you know, through your day. But I like to vary it a little bit because we're sitting here talking. We got to stay interesting. So we've got Nick Friedel, and he's an NBA expert. I mean, they call him the Woj of Syracuse alumni.
Hey, definitely don't call me that, Mr. Jones.
So I'm going to give you my burning questions in the NBA, and you're going to give me your answer. Let's start with this. Will the Brooklyn Nets, after all of this tumultuous summer, are they going to be good next year?
How do we want to define good?
Because let's say, are they going to contend for the East?
No. No. I don't even think they're a top three seed right now. I have never been around, and I've been doing this now about 15 years, a more miserable team at the end of last season. Matt, count me in what feels to be a large group that is growing by the day that believes that they're not going to be able to turn everything around now and win at a level where you think they can legitimately win a title. If you have healthy Kevin Durant and you have committed to the team Kyrie Irving, and who the hell knows what's going to happen with Ben Simmons, but if he plays at near the level he was at when we last saw him in Philly, that is a group that has a ton of talent up top. The Joe Harris addition back into the lineup after the ankle surgery, that's going to be big with Seth Curry. They've got some players, but I don't buy that a team that lacks chemistry can win at the highest level.
But could they make chemistry? I'm going to try to give the spin that would be the best spin. That really was a James Harden thing, plus Kyrie Irving, all the vaccine stuff got in his head. He never really got in the groove. Durant, who knew what he wanted? They've all come together. They've realized they don't have anywhere to go. This is their last chance. And getting those two shooters, that'll make a difference. Any way that that's possible?
It's possible. I don't think it's likely.
Okay, fair enough. Zion Williamson. It's easy to forget that guy for a while looked like one of the best exciting rookies of the last 20 years. Do we get a full year of good, exciting, and top-level Zion Williams?
No, I don't believe so, because it's also not easy to forget, Matt, in that case, what Zion looked like throughout most of last season when he was injured and he wasn't in good shape at all. I would be very concerned if I were New Orleans that through the course of 6 months in an 82-game season, he'll be able to maintain that level on the floor and stay in the kind of shape that you need to play night after night big minutes and produce. So I hope that I am wrong, because like a lot of basketball fans, I enjoy watching Zion play. He is awesome when he is out there. But because of the injury and because of the weight issues, I have a lot of trepidation as to whether or not he can maintain it for a full season.
You know how you'll watch like late at night infomercials and they'll show before and after like weight loss supplement pictures? I feel like every time I see Zion Williamson, he's either a before or an after, and it changes day by day. Like, I've never seen a person, and I don't know if it's I don't know if it's angles or it's like he always looks amazingly different every time I see him. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. It's been one of the biggest talking points in the league the last year. And Matt, he's either in great shape or he's in really rough shape, given especially where we saw him at Duke. So to me, that is answering this question perfectly, the way you just outlined it. Because if you told me that Zion could keep the weight off and manage to get through the season without having the type of injury that lingers for a lot of different players, then okay, sure, I can buy not only Zion still being a top-level player, but the Pelicans really making a move in the West. I just don't have that belief because of what's transpired in the last year and a half or so.
Yeah, I would hate that. I'd hate to think that the best memories of him are going to be the ones at Duke. I hope that's not the case. The Lakers. Is there any reason to believe that they might be better than they were last year at least?
Can they make the playoffs if everybody's healthy? Yeah, I'll go there. But this hilarity to me that the Lakers are going to go from not even in the play-in to, let's rise right back to the top of the West. No. But if you're a Laker fan and you want to talk about a group, you were saying you think a lot of people on Twitter like me, I'll tell you one group that really doesn't, and it's Lakers fans, because I dared to doubt them heading into that 2020 season where they won in the bubble. Matt, if you believe in the Lakers, forget everything else. It's on Anthony Davis playing at the type of high level every night that he's capable of but hasn't shown to be able to accomplish. If you buy them and you buy Davis as that guy, then yeah, you could say that they could make a little move up the charts there.
Give me the team, every year there's one, that is significantly better next year than they have been the year before.
It'd have to be, for me, Denver. Now, I say that.
But that's injury. Those guys have been good. I mean, somebody sort of off the radar a little bit. I mean, if Jamal Murray was healthy, they'd have been good last year.
Well, would you put Portland in that?
No, that's a good one. Why Portland?
Because I think that Damian Lillard, especially with this new deal, has the motivation of a guy who wants to show the rest of the league that he can carry his team throughout the season. And not only does he have that new deal, but Matt, he's healthy again. Lillard was not healthy throughout much of last year. I like Chauncey Billups' fit up there. I'm not saying that Portland is going to win a title or even contend at the top of the West. I think they are going to be much better, though, and I like the pieces that they have in place. The problem for the Blazers is when you have Lillard, you have a hell of a player. You just don't have that secondary guy. C.J. McCollum, to me, is a really strong player. He was never the second guy. We talked about it throughout the day with the Knicks. When you don't have that second guy, you don't have a legit chance to get to the top of the NBA.
I'm going to watch Portland just so I can see Shaedon Sharpe play, since he never played once when he was here in Kentucky, and he's like the most mysterious player I've ever seen in my life. Great stuff. Nick Friedell showing you why he is known – as the Woj of the Syracuse Alumni Association. It is time to give you the stories in the NFL that you might have missed. It'll be Three and Out next here on Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The 1-1. High drive. Left center. Trout back. Looking up. See ya, number 50. Aaron Judge connects for his 50th home run of the year. And it's 4-3 Angels.
It's kind of crazy that Aaron Judge hits his 50th home run and has been historically good hitting home runs. And yet the Yankees, since the All-Star game, have been not good. Their lead in the AL East down to 7 games with Tampa Bay. But he is 50th last night. 33 games to go. He needs 12 more to beat Roger Maris for the AL record. Do you believe that he will hit the AL record, get 12 more in 33 games, and pass the historic Roger Maris number?
I actually do, Matt, but the whole scene last night made me a little sad because I grew up in the summer of 98, I would have been 14, 15 years old. I'm a diehard Cubs fan. I love Sammy Sosa, and I remember how much joy everybody felt when Sammy and McGuire was hitting another one, and you knew how many they had and what it would take to get to that next point. And I feel like outside of New York, I know the Yankees have had a really nice year, and Judge has been awesome. But once you start getting outside of the city, there just isn't that much juice on this type of record.
But why
right
would there
now
be? It's not the record anymore. I mean,
but that's the problem.
Well, okay, but to your point, I attended. I was in Wrigley for the one game where Sosa took the lead on McGuire,
okay.
And then if you remember, McGuire took it back later in the game.
Oh, yeah.
I was at that game. It was like, it was one of the best sporting events I've ever been to. But, of course, it's not going to be the same. What's interesting, though, is that it's not the same even though it's in New York. Because if you believe people in New York, the only thing that matters is what happens in New York. And I actually do think it's fascinating that this amazing story is happening in New York. And you're right, no one cares outside of New York. That is a strange phenomenon, don't you think?
Well, all you need to know is I'm walking down the street last night on top of Serena's final match, and they're keeping a lot of the TVs on the tennis and not – switching to the Yankee game that was coming on a little bit later on the West Coast. So there are a lot of different layers here, but I think the problem to me is the number isn't what it used to be and never will.
Yeah, and the Yankees are 9-17 in August, which is crazy for a team that was on an amazing pace. You got to wonder if they're actually going to be able to make the run that their fans thought. 9-17 in August, but I don't think he hits it. I think he'll stop at like 59 or something like that. We'll see. If he gets 62, it would be kind of cool. It is Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio. What is this? Who's singing? Who sings this?
I was going to say, did they play this for you?
What is this song? This feels like something where
it's Ice Cube.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Huh.
It was a good day.
This is not It Was a Good Day.
It Was a Good Day.
That's not what this is.
Well, this is very much mislabeled in our system.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, just a second.
Yes.
How old are you? Seriously. Like,
26.
26. It Was a Good Day has one of the most iconic beats of all time. You thought this was It Was a Good Day?
No, you're right on that. I'm listening to this, and I'm like, man, I don't know. I'm like,
it's not a good day anymore.
It's not a good day.
Right.
It's not a good day.
Not a good day for Chris McGlynn. No.
26. See, this is when I feel old, is that It Was a Good Day, which I...
Freddie Coleman just walked by the studio shaking his damn head.
That's right, Freddie. That's right.
Shaking his head, Chris.
I mean, genuinely, like, you people can make me feel so old. It was a good day. You're treating as if I'm talking about Frank Sinatra. Yeah.
What could this be? Yeah, there we go. What's that labeled under?
It was a bad day.
Is this Strawberry Fields Forever? I mean, that's what it sounds like.
That's an old song, Matt.
Spot on there. Well done.
Thanks to Chris Carlin. Thanks to Chris Carlin.
Listen, man, I didn't label it.
Yeah. Well, you also didn't know it.
I listened to it before.
I mean, if all of a sudden
Sometimes I'm rushing a little bit here.
If all of a sudden they play, like, Let It Be, I'm not going to go, is this the Gin Blossoms? Like, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to have some notion.
He had the right artist. Come on.
Chris Carlin, Tim Kawakami, Diana Russini, Chris McKendry, and Vernon Davis, who was sponsored by Smirnoff. Thank you to him for all of them for joining us today. It is now time, after that ridiculous intro, to get Three and Out. Cam, give us the latest news from the NFL.
Sometimes it's the worst. Sometimes it's the best. Either way, we'll get you straight with everything you need to know. This is Three and Out.
All right, so not a good day for Kansas City Chiefs rookie wide receiver Sky Moore, although it got a little bit better. Rookie pranks abound in the NFL. So a group of veteran players, including Marquez Valdes-Scantling, new wide receiver for the Chiefs, came over from the Packers, organized a dinner this past weekend at a KC restaurant for the team's wide receivers and arranged beforehand for the restaurant to have a phony bill totaling $22,000, $18,000 for food and $2,000 for wine to be delivered to Sky Moore, the second-round draft pick at the end of the night, yada, yada. Matt, how do you feel about a rookie prank like that and that has been going on for so long in leagues?
Sky Moore deserved it because if he had ever been out to eat in his life, he would know you don't just get a bill that says this is $18,000 even, right? Like, I mean, it's not going to be even $18,000.
No, it was $22,730 was the final bill.
Well,
so it wasn't exactly 18.
That's after he put in his tip that they did. I would have suspected it. I like Sky Moore. I especially like the fact he has two Y's at the end of his name, but he deserves it. I love rookie pranks.
I thought you said he had two wives.
I don't know, but he has two Ys, and I actually enjoy the fact that they do rookie pranks. Keep them up.
The stunning part to me here, guys, is that there was only $2,000 in wine. Like, I thought that part would be skyrocketing off that bill if you're going to really prank somebody and throw them, but those pranks are never going to leave. It's part of the hazing process, and if you handle that the right way, you will indoctrinate yourself very quickly.
You remember on Hard Knocks when the Ravens would, like, duct tape the guy to the goalpost?
Oh, yeah.
Those were the ones I liked. I actually think that ain't happening
in 2022.
Probably not, but it was funny, to be honest with you. That was those days of Shannon Sharp and Tony Siragusa, rest in peace. Who's next?
Two wives for Sky Moore. He is 21 years old, though, so I don't think he has two wives, although you never know. Anyway, New York Jets, Sauce Gardner, fourth overall pick from Cincinnati, his birthday tomorrow, so happy birthday to him. New York Jets, Sauce Gardner calls himself a different rookie, and he plans to, quote, dominate. Nick, do you think Sauce Gardner will dominate?
I think he's got the right mindset, but no, I don't think he's going to dominate because it's so rare that any rookie comes into this platform and on this stage and can do it week after week after week. But when you're that high of a pick and you're running really well coming out of training camp, then more power to him for saying publicly the way he feels.
Slow down, Sauce. I mean, come on. Don't say you're a different kind of rookie. Don't you play a game first and then say something. I like people talking trash, but when you say you're a different kind of rookie, the rest of people on the team will probably shake their head and go, dude, calm down. We've all been rookies. Play one game, Sauce, and then you can tell me how you're different than everybody else. That was the only part of it. I love the confidence, but, you know, just tune it down.
Matt, would you say that he is lost in the sauce of his own confidence?
I think what I would say is you need to have better joke writers if you're going to come up with these lines throughout the thing.
I wrote that myself.
Hey, it was bad.
He said, everything comes natural. I don't think I'm going to run into the quote-unquote rookie wall. I think I'll just be able to go out there and dominate whoever lines up in front of me. All right, last one. Carolina Panthers edge rusher Brian Burns. He's setting his alarm at 5 a.m. and then repeatedly at 5-minute increments every day in training camp to make sure he's up before 6 a.m. because he's had sleep issues in the past. And he's hoping to define his sleep habits and take his game to the next level. The next line in this article makes me laugh very hard. Experts weren't surprised. Matt, are you surprised that getting better sleep would lead to more productive play from Brian Burns?
I'm not surprised that experts would get to better sleep, but dude, just get up. Like, doing it.
It's hard for him. He's struggled with it.
You know what? I once dated a girl that did that, and like every 5 minutes, the alarm, by the end of it, I was like, this relationship is over. So you got to just get up. The 5 minutes every time is ridiculous.
Never a good sign when you're setting 10 different alarms. Just try as hard as you can.
Apparently, he was waking up at noon over the offseason, so he's trying to get back into playing shape.
Come on, man. At 10 different alarms. That's like, I'm having flashbacks of that past relationship. It wasn't the most greatest finish by our two.
Can't believe
in the production
it didn't last.
Room. But, Nick, I had fun with you.
Had
Thank
a blast,
you all
buddy.
Very much. Prime time or something is next.